Lord, as we commemorate Palm Sunday, Lord, as you were entering in, Jesus, on the donkey, on the colt, and people were praising you, they were making a procession for you, and whenever the Pharisees had told him and disciples to stop, Jesus, you said, if they don't, even the rocks will cry out. Lord, I thank you that you don't have need for us. All of your creation will sing your praises. All of your creation points to you, but you have a desire for us, Lord. And I pray that we would never stop recognizing your goodness and praising you, so that we thank you that your creation cries out. But I pray that the praise that's supposed to come from me would always come from me. Yeah. And the praise that's supposed to come from us would always come from us. Lord, and I pray that our ears would be ready to receive your word, so that we would do something with it and it would come out of us through action and through word and through praise, Lord. I pray that both our physical palms and palm branches and anything that you desire to be laid down in a form of praise to you would be laid down. We honor you and we thank you. I pray that you prepare us to be good soil in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, son.
Appreciate that. You know, most of the time I try to serve a good meal here that God has given me, right? Again, something like Acts series I thought was meaty. God just, it was meaty. Today feels a lot like a smoothie. And sometimes we get out of counseling sessions, as you know, do for a living. Dr. Heidi and I, it's late and we don't cook a plan to do anything. And she goes, we want to go out and get some meat. And I always say, yes, Addie. Oh, yeah. Let's get something. But I hate this. Her next was, do you want to get a smoothie? I never, in the history of my life, have ever wanted a smoothie for dinner. A smoothie is what you have with your fries. You know, I said, oh. So forgive me, you're getting a smoothie today. It's a lot whipped in. You know, a little smoothie. That's my smoothie. There is word all sprinkled through it, so it's going to have some nutrition for sure. But palms up for a second. Say palms up. Palms up. Okay. Praise is often both of these things at the same time. You ready? An offering up of gratitude, palms up, offering of gratitude, thank you, right? And laying stuff down, say palms down. Sometimes that's how it goes. Palms down is not just a prone position on the floor. It's yielding like whatever. That's why it's tough. Because it's whatever he asks of you. And sometimes things he asks you, I go, I can lay that down in a second. I can lay that down. You can't, I laid that down. But what about the thing I asked you? But I don't want to lay that down. That's, are you sure you're asking me? You're not asking that. Yield whatever's God asking. What are you willing to offer with no strings attached? Palms up. Let's start with Psalm 33:1-2. I'm going to do a little teaching, then we're going to get into Palm Sunday, I think. Psalm 33:1-2. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise. I don't know if I'm going to freak you out today, Bob, but I want to get out of this and go back into it a second. I have a slide because I broke down the word praise, and I don't usually do that right in the middle. Boom. Yep, you were there. All right, I'm going to go to my little picture, Bob. Messing with me. He's just messing with me. I'm not going to look now. Never mind. No. The word is yada or yada. I like to say yada. Yada. Praise. It means literally this, right? To use, to hold out the hand. Praise. Physically to throw a stone or arrow. What does that mean? Like your praise could be like, woo! I'm throwing a stone like David. Woo! You know, or it could be like, boom! Like dropping a three. It's an NCAA tournament. We see dudes doing this. Boom. That's kind of like, you know, it's dropping. It's like, you know, it's like throwing a stone or an arrow. It's like dropping an arrow. Boom, you know. And so your hands could be praising like this. You could be throwing a stone. I've seen people, don't tell me you haven't seen some lady in this church at some point in time doing this with their hand. I'm just saying, yada, yada, yada. You know, I'm just saying. It's a yada, yada. Or to revere and worship with extended hands. Intensively to bemoan the wringing of hands. Ever pray like that? Ever worship like God? And you're like asking him, but you're praising at the same time and you're squeezing your hands, right? To cast, to confess. Ever do that in worship? Oh God. to praise, to shoot, like, boom. I'm saying dropping threes. That's how I do it. Boom. It's March Madness. So, boom. Praise you, Lord. That's a trifecta right there. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Boom. Start a new thing. Just saying. That's the word praise. Let's go back to the scripture. Palms up. Right? That's where we get our palms up. Yada. Right? Praise is becoming and appropriate. Praise is becoming and appropriate for those who are upright. Your life looks better when you praise. If you were to spend all day trapped in a 4x4 room with someone, would you rather be with someone with a praiser or a complainer? Woo! Really? Maybe we should be praisers. I'm just saying, praise is becoming. Why? When someone's giving something to God, it's you like you want to be around it. It looks good on you. Praise looks good on you. Yada. Yada, yada, yada. Right? Also, it's appropriate. It's more than just necessary. It's your reasonable service. Because we often forget where we were before we found him. He found us. We forget sometimes. We get a little too big for our britches, my grandma would say. Which means I'm about to get whooped if I don't check my behavior. That's what that for. You're too big for your britches. You go, oh, don't be too big for your britches. Why? Because you know what comes next? They're going to shorten those britches. Don't do it. I bet you got a lot of whoopings. I can see that. Praise is becoming and appropriate. Give thanks. That's a command. That's like, oh, I'm not a praiser. I do this and I praise God silently in my head. No, you got to give thanks. I didn't write it. I do like to grade it on us sometimes, but I never wrote it. Give thanks. That's more of a command. Praise is an optional. Give thanks. Do it. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, sing praises to him with the harp and 10 strings, and et cetera, and yada, yada, yada. Right? If you love him, you got a yada. If you love him, you got a yada. See, palms up. Palms up. You got palms up. If you love him, you got a yada. Praise isn't optional. It's not an option. Praise in all its forms, though, this is the important part. All its forms and all its styles, whether it's somebody with a flag and they're waving at their hand. Someone's air guitaring back there. Someone's dropping threes for Jesus. I don't know what they're doing. But it's got to be authentically lifting to God. That's very important. Say this with me. It's es muy, muy importante. It's very important. Very important. Who's crying at my Spanish pronunciations? Marisol, did you hear that? Man. It was Marisol, but who should lift their hands? Like, who should it be? Who should, what places should be lifting their hands? That's a great question this morning. So I thought we'd look at the answer in Psalm 150, verse 6. Who should yada? Ready? Let everything that has breath. Anyone in here not have breath? Oh, then there's no excuse not to yada. If you got breath, like, I'll walk out without breath. Try it. It's like the people that vow with Paul. I'm going to kill him in the next 40 days. I'll never eat. You're going to die. Paul's going to Rome. Right? If you have breath, we got to give a little yada. That's part of our life, right? Let everything that has breath and every breath of life, most of the things that come out of our mouth should somehow be reflecting praise. Man, do I need work on that. Do you know how much non-praise I give the Duke Blue Devils this time of year? The opposite of praise. I'm throwing bad stones from the TV like, someone take them down. Basketball Blue Devils. Yeah, the actual and the basketball. Don't like them either, you know. Everything and everything that has breath and every breath of life, let it praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's time to yada more in our lives a little bit. So on that very first Palm Sunday, they waved palms high. Palms up. I'm going to ask you to do palms up, palm down. So you're going to have to interact with me because, like, again, I'm not going to be on my notes. It's going to be hard today. Smoothie. I'm not good at drinking smoothies or serving them. You know, I'd rather just, you know, I'm a burger fella anyways. Here we go. Yeah. They waved palm branches up high and they threw them down low. Palms down low. Right. They did both. Palms were waved high. They were laid low. And that's our analogy I want to go through today as this grand entry came in. Jesus is about to see so many various people he's about to encounter. as he's going to his death. Jesus is about to have his palms stretched out for him, but it's for us, right? Jesus is going to give us an opportunity for those to hear this part, because that's where I'm going to start actually going into the message. Jesus is going to give us an opportunity to get as close as we're willing to draw. Jesus will give you the opportunity to get as close to him as you are willing to draw. You want to get close to Jesus? How close are you willing to draw? I wish I had the same relationship to Jesus that so-and-so had. Can you draw that close? Are you willing to go, I'm not going to watch another episode. I'm going to put some yada in my life. Not saying don't watch the episode, but if it's no yada, you're not drawing close. I'd love to draw close, but I don't get into my Bible. That's the bad yada, yada, yada. I hear that all the time. You're as close as you want to be. Draw close this season. Draw near this season. Not to someone who knows him. That's different. Everyone wants to draw near to someone who knows him. Don't do that. Don't draw near to rituals. Don't draw near to rituals, please. Don't draw near to sacrifice for sacrifice's sake. Don't draw near to fanfare or fake humility, but draw near to him this season with whatever you have. Draw near. Jesus, he entered the lives. He's about to enter the lives of so many different kind of people on this road. And I picked out a few I hope we can relate to in my smoothie. These are little smoothie zippers we're putting in. And yeah, what are they? Flavor packs, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Zippers, I call them. I think they're spicy. I don't drink smoothies. They should be spicy. I don't know. Anyways, Jesus went to Jerusalem that week. He interacted with a lot of people, and you should go read about it, but I want to pick out some. You ready? Here are some who's that maybe you can relate to. Ready? Peter. Anybody relate to Peter? Yeah. I don't know. Tell me some things about Peter, and I'll see. All right. How about tough? He was tough. Peter's ready. Come on. Pick on Jesus. I got a sword. You used to hear with that side of your head, didn't you? Back up. Anybody? Come on. Anybody like that used to be your first reaction? Yeah, but you better raise your hand. At times, though, Peter's too ambitious, right? Ever been too ambitious? Ever run too hard with some? Come on. But he's definitely an all-in guy. I love all-in guys. You want those guys in your crew, right? He's number one in passion rating. If you're about to rate the disciples on gifts, his passion rating's off the chart. Right? Anybody relate to that? Sometimes I got to bring it down. I used to look in the back row for Dr. Heidi to go, bring it down. I don't look anymore because I can't. How about John, Apostle John? Loving, close to Jesus, hanging on Jesus' every word. Relate to him just cuddle up with Jesus time. If I could, I wouldn't work for a living. I would sit on a mountain and cuddle up with Jesus. Well, see, there's John's. Oh, they're all. How about this? A cripple. What? You were doing so good, Pastor. Cripple. Haven't you two met Jesus during a broken place in your life? And your walk's different than it used to be when you ran into him when you were broken? You can't relate to a cripple anymore. That's the church's problem. Oh, get mega notes. Bang. Say, I am the church. Who was crippled? Here's a big fact. All are born crippled and blind and dirty. That's a big fact. So, the cripple's on the list. If you can relate to this season, then draw near to the one who fixes brokenness and the only one who can. How about can you write this? The lady with the issue of blood. All of us have issues and it's in our blood. We put out our grossness sometimes for people to see too. I had a friend blasted somebody on the internet, blasted them. And then they went, dang, I did that. And then they went, shouldn't have done that, but I did it. And they're Samoan, so they put this cute little word in some palm trees. And I went, okay, don't offend me. All right, I'm fine with it, you know. But we all have issues, right? And our grossness sticks out more than we like to know sometimes, you know. My worst fear is to be talking. Oh, here it is. Don't mess with me. I'm talking to you, Derek. Is to be talking to you, and I get this little beard trim, and I, for some reason, have some wild nose hair pointing out like a rhino at you. And Andrew's like, dude, Krista, he's going to poke you in your eye. Careful when you hug Pastor Sean. We got issues. They stick out. They're ugly. Things in our life, right? There are things in our life. We go, ooh. Pastor John's great, but if you've not fed him all day and he's been with people all day and you're driving the 60 at rush hour, let him play music. Don't talk to him. Why? Because it's a nose hair situation. How about this? You relate to Mary Magdalene? Come on, ladies. Oh, how about Mary? She was a turned around soul. She went from living a hardcore life. Everybody live a hardcore life? I mean, I'm not talking, my wife got saved at 13, and I love it. But we were different. I remember hardcore life. It caused me to yada. Sometimes I'm too much yada because I know what I used to be. You don't know what I used to be. I'm afraid some of my friends would come here and tell you what I used to be like. I told you that story. Don't you forget. Jesus changed me. Anybody? Come on. Anybody? Mary Magdalene? Anybody just, any Mary Magdalenes out there? Come on. Right? And now, not only she went from a hardcore life, now she's living to love Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that. Did that? You got a Jesus shirt. Got a Jesus blog. I tell people about Jesus. Started a Jesus coffee shop. Got a Jesus bug truck. Got Jesus. How about Lazarus? Has Jesus loved you enough to rescue you from the death you were in? Palms up. Come on, let's see the palms up. How about, can you relate to this? How about the blind? Yeah, we should see that, right? We should see that that fits our lives. And if we don't, you might still be blind. Or can you see this? How about yourself and the various soldiers, the encounters? Ever been a soldier of, I beat Jesus up and Christians up on a regular basis with my verbal assaults? Anyone ever been a soldier? Just me. I was ugly. Oh, thank you. I see some ugly hands. Thank you. Watch this old school called Ben-Hur. It's awesome. About a soldier getting saved. It's amazing. But how about this? Do you ever relate to a Pharisee? Bravo. That's a hard one to raise your hand to. But some of us can do it. Some of us can do it. How about Judas Iscariot? No, I won't ask. Never. You check your own heart. If you've been like Iscariot, it's too painful to admit in such a pleasant day as this. But maybe if you have been, it's time to fix it. Or can you relate to where his word just says they, the people? Say the people. Jesus came to town and they, the people, were lit. Look at the person next to you. Say, they were lit. They're lit, right? Jesus is on the way. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the people are stoked. They finally have something positive to go, yeah! They're in. Israel's king has come, the one we've heard about from old. If you read the whole thing, though, people, yeah, you're shouting king at him, but if you read the whole thing, he's coming to do something bigger than all that. You're about to be part of the killing process. The king's in the house. Yeah, you're yada here, but yada hasn't been laid down either. They didn't understand the Messiah had a purpose. We're talking about purpose next week, but we're talking about something happy today. Believe it or not, it's Palm Sunday. Most people thought the Messiah was just a ruling king, a good servant of God, like David. You know, they're like, son of David. You know what? That's like saying, it's like men's ministry going, you know, I like our king to kind of kick a little butt and take a little names. Don't you like that in your king? He kicks a little butt. More, you know, like you're watching, when you're watching a good guy versus a bad guy show, don't you want the good guy to beat the snot out of the bad guy on a regular basis? That's how I like my king. Kicking butt and taking names. They're like, he's in the house, Jesus. Hey, Romans, you're going to suck it. Because we come in, the king is here. We read about it. You know, they're in. Yada, 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 yada. Whew. You know how us and we and you and me can be with our expectations. Right? Ever be off with your expectations? Very often. Yeah. Come on. Do we let King Jesus, the bearer of sin, the bearer of all sin, the one who died for us, do we even let him rule our palms? Do we ever let him rule our palms? What we do with our palms? Do we let him rule us? When he says, hey, I need you to lay this down. Instead of debating and bartering and going, how about door number three? Or I'll do something bigger than that. I'm good with that. Lord, I could lay that down, but I love energy drinks, but I could lay them down. But what if I ate more salad instead? Do both? Oh. Why did I even talk to you about that? Because he's the king. Does he rule my palms? Do we praise in any way that he ever asked us to? Say palms up. Right, right. Do we praise by giving whatever he wants with palms down? Say palms down. We understand, right? We understand, I think, that he was beaten for us and for all, whipped for us and for all, mocked for us, all abused, bore sin, killed, shame for me and everybody. How's that? Is that cheerful? I'm about to get cheerful. Right. Jesus is about to experience something that will make that even seem worse. Jesus is about to feel what it's like to be abandoned. You know, though, here's the thing. In my opinion, this is a my opinion thing. Don't charge us to Dr. Heidi, the Word of God. Blame Wollstonecraft, maybe. But here's the thing. My opinion. Only those people who are supposed to be close to you can really ever abandon you. I got friends that I don't see anymore, but they didn't abandon me. But I have friends I don't see no more, they abandon me. Palms up. I see those faces. I see them. Jesus is about to be abandoned on every side. For a moment, even by the Father, it feels. He says, turns his face. And Jesus cries on the cross. I got it. Matthew 27. I wanted to read it. This is, I know, Palm Sunday. I'm going to get to Palm Sunday, but I want to tell you where he's. What he's. Everybody else is like, the city's lit, right? He's in the house. Oh, Jesus in the house. Can be changed. Yeah. Youth groups everywhere going crazy. You know, whoa! You know, everyone's just, even the religious people are like, whoa, palms up, you know? And he's going, I'm about to be abandoned by all you. I'm about to die for all you, and I'm about to be abandoned by all you. So on the cross, even the Father, that's how Jesus felt. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud, agonized voice, Eli, Eli, yama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? I did everything right, perfect. I put my palms all the way out. On to death. Where are you? Man, he could do it. At that point in time, he did everything because his Father was right. Didn't feel abandoned like that. He was abandoned by the people that he helped. He was abandoned by those who drew close. Some of those names I named, they weren't there. They're peeking around from like a distance if they are at all. And worse than that, Jesus was about to be turned against. And that happens quick with crowds. One minute like, woo-hoo, kill him. What? Feels like the hallelujah should be fresh in your mouth, but you're creaming crucify him. How'd that happen? So this first Palm Sunday marked the fact that the deliverer had finally arrived. And the people went from palms up, palms down, to the cross, to his palms being stretched out, to him being laid low. And that event was about to spark the world. And all they're doing right now is they're being lit because Jesus just showed up. Man, how many of us, Jesus has showed up so many times, and then the very next time you get something in the middle of the night that drives you insane, and you're down, he's going to show up when we should be going yada, yada, yada. You don't need to do another thing. You don't need to do another thing. Why? Because you did enough things. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not the people. Sometimes I'm the people. Be honest. This is disciples. Here's some of our prayers. Sometimes maybe are similar to this at times. Dear God, do it like I think you should. Dear God, do it like I think you should. Dear God, do it like I think you should. If not, I'll figure it out myself. Say, oh them, those guys. And as soon as Jesus enters the scene, the city's bouncing and bumping. I do not have an actual picture of that day, but this is what it looked like to me. I thought I'd lighten the mood with seeing a crowd. Yeah, Jesus is, you know, there's, oh, his lad's crazy. You know, like they're just, it was bumping. They were happy about it. The deliverer had lifted his palms up, laid branches down. They're shouting hallelujah. It's a party. And Jesus is like, my friends, this is awesome, but hard times are coming. Jesus is about to enter some of the hardest times. The hallelujahs are going to stop. So the same ones who shouted praise, they called out crucify. But have you ever been there? Have you ever done that? Man, it's hard. 21 years of being here, in ministry longer than that, 21 years of being here. I'm just going to be raw on Palm Sunday. I've seen people come in, this is the best church in the world, and God, you help me out, Jesus. And I see all the same people on the internet going, Pastor Sean sucks, raw eggs. Some other less nice form of that. You know, ever have that happen in your life, though? Come on, ever have that happen? And so Jesus is like, yeah, thanks for the party. And so I need the yada. The stones would crawl out if you didn't. But man, so I took all four gospels, and it's really interesting that all four gospels carry the same event. It must be muy importante. So I crossed them and stitched them together, and this one, first one's in Matty Matt, ready? Or Levi. Matt 21, 1 through 7. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with a colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. Pause, Bob. Jesus, you asking me to carjack right here? This is a modern-day carjacking. Look, Christian, I want you going to Phoenix. The first Ferrari you come to, brand new. Right? The first Ferrari, just get in that. Bring it on back. Christian's like, I got to check with Angel first. Pastor. Untie them, bring them to me. But, you know, he's going to fulfill something in Zechariah 7 or 9. It's not there. You know, there's almost 300 to 570-something prophecies that the Messiah had to fulfill. So this is one of them, right? Jesus says, if anyone asks what you're doing, just say the Lord needs them. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say the Lord needs them, and immediately they'll let you take them. I always wondered secretly, I do. This may be one of the weird questions in heaven. I'll go, did you warn that dude? Like, did you like give him a dream? Go, hey, homeboy's going to come tomorrow and ask for the gold. Just kidding. Because in my neighborhood, if you came and took someone's new car out of the driveway, and you're backing up, and you said, well, the Lord needed it. It better be the Lord, bro, because you can go meet him in a second. That's my Ferrari. You know, this took place to fulfill the prophecy. Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He's humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt, which is actually a little miracle because donkeys are stubborn. And animals that have never been broken in or ridden before, they don't like it at first, believe it or not. So here we have a stubborn animal who's never been ridden. He's going to get on it. And it's chill. To me, that's an unsung miracle. Like, that's pretty cool, you know. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. I'm so glad we don't do that tradition today. I mean, I don't mind the palms, but don't be chucking your clothes at the altar. I mean, I'm so glad we don't do that. Like, we're on Palm Sunday, throw our garments down. No. Like, go out to dinner instead. Make that a new one. I don't know. The crowd spread their garments on the ground ahead of him and cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Say, palms down. Our palms should be both lifted in praise and surrendered in obedience. That's part of worship. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God, the Son of David, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. As he entered, say, it was lit. They're screaming, right? Who is this? They asked. The crowd replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Man, the crowd here didn't know exactly why they were shouting, did they? That's the crowd. I saw that. Came up on Facebook. Must be true. Shout, I'm going to shout about it. You were researching before you shout that. Because I don't know if goats can sign the Declaration of Independence. That doesn't look real. I'm shouting it. A goat did it. It wasn't even Thomas Jefferson. Dude, don't get caught up in shouting about stuff. I wouldn't do that. Why should they be lifting up their yada at the time then, should they be praising and surrendering, but all they're doing is shouting. It can look the same. You know, it can look the same. But to heaven, it doesn't sound the same at all. Never shout the gospel at anybody. You know, who was it? Wigglesworth has said, preach the gospel wherever you have to use words. You know, anyways. Real praise, first is this. It knows to whom it's sent. You know where it's sent. And real praise is not just lifting up a shout for God and to thank you for God. It's also laying stuff down that he asked for. How about Marky Mark? You love him? Well, John Mark, let's go see him. Mark 11:9, same story. This is his little spin. Jesus was in the center of the procession. Jesus was in the center of the procession. Is he our center focus or somewhere in the outer circle? Seriously, the center procession. As Jesus, like, he comes along on the ride with me. He's riding shotgun, you know. Jesus riding shotgun underneath the hot sun. No, like, Jesus, take the wheel. Get on the other song. Get on the wheel, you know. But is he center? Lots of times he's like, he's ancillary. I'm a Christian when it depends what he asked me to put my palms down on. Or when I don't feel like putting my palms up. He's not center. My emotional attitude is often center. Pastor Sean, I'm hormonal. It happens. I'm sorry. The people all around him were shouting, praise God, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the kingdom of our ancestor David. Now that sounds great, doesn't it? But this is what's actually being shouted. We're politically about to give Rome their what's what. Our king's here. They should be scared. David's back on the throne. Praise him. You know. Praise God in the highest heaven. How high is God on your death chart? Is he pretty up there? Or is the highest place? Say palms up. Luke. People are shouting here. 1938. Blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest heaven. The purpose for our rescued life is to lift him to the highest place we can with it. Like, why did he say that's a simple thing? Why did he rescue you from wherever hell he poured you out of? Whatever person you could relate to when you were icky yucky, when you were whatever, God, you know, that thing that you are thinking in your head right now, whenever he pulled you out there, why? Because he just needed more disciples? Needed more people? He's narcissistic? That throws words around so much, makes me throw up every time I hear it. The real reason he rescued us is that we'd lift him to the highest place with our lives. And when that actually happens, I see other lives change. Like, I've seen so many lives change in here that never heard a single message here, but they met a person who really knows Jesus, and they gave you love somewhere. And that brought you closer to him. That's the purpose, isn't it? That's what our palms are for, praising him and laying our lives down. Why? So he can be center focus. So often I get to be center focus. I like things my way, you know. But we'll end with John the Beloved, because everybody's like John the Beloved. We're going to get us out early because it's Palm Sunday. And Pastor Sean's just a super nice fella. He's probably hungry. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus. Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. He did that to us too, right? Palms up. Okay. Any ex-living dead in the room? Come on, we'll see. I heard someone last week give their heart to Jesus for the first time. And I'm so stoked. I hope I get to talk to you right after church because I want to stomp around you for a second. And I just looked at him, but he did. I love it. Wait till you see what God does with a yielded life that will praise him and lay down whatever he asks for. Wait till you see what God can do with that. So he's at Lazarus. He said, a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served. Here's what I hate. Martha gets way too much play on being a fussy task doer. How many messages I heard? Well, don't be a Martha. She's fussy. It's all about tasks for her. In Jesus' honor, Martha served. In Jesus' honor, she served. She gave her best. Yeah, she had one snooty moment with her sister, and she's labeled for life. Would you like to be labeled for life for your one snooty moment? I've had like 11 snooty moments in my life. They were just this week, you know? It says, in Jesus' honor, Martha served. She gave her best. Man, I lost my cool recently. I don't want to be labeled for that. And we label Martha, but it was for honor service. I know so many sweet serving people that they just served as they love, and it's the most beautiful thing. You said, well, just serve it, right? In Jesus' honor, Martha served. If you're feeling Martha vibes in your life, serve them, honor them, show love. Don't be ashamed of being a Martha. But serve him and others with palms up and palms down. Because here's another thing. Martha's, this is hard, but try not to be distracted from what others should be doing. It'll only make you sad. Because man, what's my sister doing? The hardest thing, if you're a servant in the house of God and you love people and you're trying your best, the hardest thing is not to get bent, upset, when you see yourself hustling because you're trying to honor Jesus and Cornhead just shows up eating tacos. Oh my goodness. They know I make tacos all day long. Goes up and just comes in here and eats them. What about my brother? Sometimes that can get to Martha. In Jesus' honor, Martha served. And Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary. Love her. Mary once was messed up, off the chain, messed up. But M was a natural love bug, you know? She also had palms up and palms down. Mary was not afraid to publicly love Jesus. If you feel like you're not afraid to publicly love Jesus, put your palms up for me because I want to see the Marys in the house. Good. She's not afraid. She's not concerned at the cost of what her palms down will be either, too. That's authentic. Praise me. You rescued my life. I was a mess. I love you, love you, love you, love you. Boom, dropping threes for you everywhere I go. Love you. What do you need from me? You can have it. That's the most important thing. It's the only thing I got. It's the most expensive thing I own. You can have everything. You can have it. I'm going to break it so no one else can ever use it again because only you can have it because you can have whatever. Palms down. Palms down. Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. Doesn't sound good, but it probably smells good. And she anointed Jesus' feet with it. There could be lots of different reactions from people when you do stuff like that. When you give something to Jesus, they thought you should do something else with. Your time, your money, your friendships, what you do, like how you train your children. But at the end of the day, this is hard because we are people. We are fussy, okay? But if this is you, just stop it, okay? At the end of the day, if it's not yours to lay down, then don't judge it. If it's needed, it's not yours to lay down, then don't judge it. If you feel he's calling you to lay down your perfume, then lay it down. Palms down your perfume. What's your perfume? What's your perfume? Mary anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiping his feet with her hair. Come on, palms up for Mary. Like, isn't that the most beautiful thing? And palms down for her. She gave up the most expensive thing she had. She laid down her whatever. You know, he requires that of each of us, not just Mary. That's a Martha gig too. That's a Lazarus gig. That's a Matt gig. That's a John gig. That's an eeny, miny, mo gig. You know, the house was filled with the fragrance. If you palms up or palms down for Jesus in your life, it impacts the atmosphere around you. If you are a palms upper or a palms downer for Jesus, the people around you know it. Not because you got a bumper sticker. Not because you can play your worship music louder than the stall next to you. Not because you invite them to church every Sunday. That's your impact when you're authentically giving him praise with your life, it will come out of your mouth. You'll be building other people up, not tearing them down. You'll be looking for ways to give them Jesus, not smack them with Jesus. That fragrance, Man, ever have someone like that come into your life and you still smell them today? Like, thank God they came my life. They made Jesus smell so good at the time. I want no part of that dude. I seen the statues. I got smacked on the hand with a ruler enough times. I'm not kissing no other. Kiss what? That piece of stone? You better call my grandma because I ain't doing it. Go ahead. But when you authentically have someone come into your life that they broke their jar for Jesus and their hands are lifted for Jesus and they got a smell for Jesus, it just draws you in. The house is filled with that fragrance. But Judas, the disciple who would soon betray him, you can boo if you want to. Similar Jesus. You know, there's a part in Matthew where Jesus talks to the guys. He says, when you've done something to the least of my brothers, you've done it unto me. Remember that? I believe that can be used both ways sometimes. And I'll maybe get to there. Judas said that perfume was worth a year's wages. Wow, Mary, that's way more than 10%. What are you doing? It should have been sold. Say this with me, bro. It wasn't yours to lay down. You're going to learn some Italian. Say, stata zit. I mean, shut it. Shut up. Zip it, zippy. You know, that wasn't yours. That didn't impact. That didn't affect you. That God told us, zip it. But all up in his business, all up in her business, right? Judas. That should have been sold. And it's going to sound good. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. That sounds logical. Don't you guys think? She should have done that, right? The poor. Be right. The room smells great. It's very expensive. She wasted it, but there's the poor. Come on. She wasted finances. We should tell everybody the sister of God wastes finances for God when she could give it to the poor. Cornhead. And I love this. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. John's going, let me tell you the background of homeboy. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. John's calling him out for eternity. Cornhead, you know. But Jesus replied. And this is the only reaction that should matter. Ever. That's the only reaction, if it's the center of your life, that should ever matter. I've been all by myself before. And in leadership, it is lonely. But I don't want to go nowhere without Jesus. If you don't go, I ain't going. Don't abandon me, Father. I'm not as tough as your son, Jesus. I can't stretch out all the way. But I can raise a yada and I can lower a yada, but I can't stretch out like Jesus. Mm-mm. I wish I could. Jesus replied, leave her alone. He said, stata. Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did this as preparation for my burial. It's from her palms to me, not yours. And then Jesus goes, you're going to always have the poor with you. People try to guilt you to do certain things that Jesus told you to do something else with. Ever have that happen? Jesus told you to do something else, but you got guilty of doing what you knew you shouldn't have done because happened to the disciples too. He said, you're always going to have the poor with you. You will not always have me. Raise your palms while there's still time to raise your palms because you don't know when the last time to raise your palms is going to be. When you come Sunday morning, come with a praise in your heart. Come with a yada and then come with something to lay down for Jesus. Because every week I said, I got to lay down for Jesus. And every week I got something to raise my hands for him. This is Palm Sunday. Let our palms be free to do that today. I want that freedom in your life again. I want that freedom. Raise your palms while there's still time. Lay down while you have time to lay it down. Because sometimes our permanent damage happens when I don't lay it down when he asked me to. I don't want to be forced into my knees one more time. Anybody else? I'm tired of that. I am tired of being forced into a yada position. And he does it because he loves me. That's tough love. He didn't let me go. Could let me go. All right. Go ahead. Serve the other side again. You want to root for Duke? Never. I'll never root for Duke. support you always have, but you're not always going to have me. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him. Hands down, the hottest ticket in town. Jesus was rolling up, you know. They flocked to see him, and they also want to see Lazarus. Lazarus, the man who had raised from the dead. So Lazarus like, that's the dude, right? Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too. Wait, aren't you guys servants of God? Priests of the Most High God. Aren't you going to the priests of the Most High God? Isn't that what you shout out? You bring your incense. You're making a nice scent. You're waving your palms. You're laying your things down. We hear about it. I tied my mint. I tied my cumin. I tied my ice cream cone. I tied my Takis. I tied, you know. Okay. You guys, the servants of God, didn't Moses give you a top 10 rule chart? And wasn't thou shalt not murder number 6? And you're praying a double homicide. Bro, religion will try to kill you even if you're following Jesus. Remember that. Ritual and stuff wants to creep up, and symbolism and comfort and stuff you can check off a list to make ourselves feel better is way easier than palms up and palms down when he asks us to. I'd rather just go, bless me, Father, our sins. It's been 46 minutes. That's my last confession. I just did this nasty thing. I snarled. Thank you. How many Hail Marys? One? Awesome. Free as I'll ever be. No, you're not, man, because you're going to do the same thing tomorrow. Just saying that Hail Mary is easy, it meant nothing. But when you went to your father and said, take this from me, I've sinned. What do you want? Okay, I'll fast that, Father. That's a different kind of praise, right? These guys wanted to kill Lazarus too. For it's because of Lazarus that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. All Lazarus did was become alive. What ticked them off is he's no longer dead. There are so many people in your life that are ticked off that you're no longer dead. They're still mad about you not being dead. That's crazy. But you know what that does? When you become alive and you were dead, you draw people. All you have to do is be alive. Sometimes you don't got to say a thing. Just be alive in Christ. Be authentic. Be real in your relationship with God. Be real. It will draw people who really need life. Man, it will. The next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, praise God, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. Jesus, who typically avoided the pomp and circumstance, he usually dips out in those things. And like, where's Jesus? They're in the wedding, you know, all of a sudden Jesus is like, hey, where's Jesus? We need some more wine. Where'd he go? I don't know. Took off in someone's Ferrari. He's gone. Yeah. Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy, and said, don't be afraid, people. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a colt. His disciples didn't understand at the time that he was fulfilling prophecy. In case that's a lot, you ever been in the midst of something, right in the midst of it, only later to say, wow, I didn't see that? Ever? Like, man, ever have people go, hey, this is going on. See, Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. Later, I go, man, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. Go on. The disciples are like, yeah, he's riding the donkey. The guy let us have it. King of kings. Lord of lords. The 12 of us, woo, we're going to be at the table with the king. Kicking butt and taking names. Peter, what are we going to do? Kicking butt and taking names. They're rapping behind Jesus. You can see him like, we coming in town, you know? The disciples didn't understand, like, no, man, this is right to his death. But after Jesus entered his glory, they remembered what had happened, and they realized that these things had been done and written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. You know, I do that all the time about some of your stories that I'm allowed to share. If I know someone's story that matches up, and I'm out there in the public, and I know God did something for you, I may change the name to protect the innocent, but I share some of your story and go, I know this dude. He was doing 2 years looking at 26. He was this little gangbanger out there. But you know what God did? He plays keyboard now, and you should hear him sing for Jesus. Whole family comes to church, and he's awesome. I've shared that story a bunch of times. It's not my story. That was that Lazarus' story. You know, I know some stories over the years that I'm allowed to share. You ever share someone else's testimony? Man, all the time. They're telling others about Jesus' impact on something they heard someone else say. Telling this impact they've seen on others. The point is, sharing whatever impacts Jesus has made on you, it's the season. Go share it. Why not share it? I'm not saying just, you know, pounce on somebody with a bullhorn. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because you got to know me through someone else too. And you're the very someone else I sent today. And they want to see if you have an authentic yada in your life. And they want to hear about the yadas you lay down. And they want to hear what Jesus did with all that. Come on. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him. I've probably only invited 4 people to this church in my whole life. And I don't think they're here. On any level, that's incredible, right? To be part of something going on in someone's life, Jesus impacted them so much, and someone else, they're going out and telling people about Jesus, they never even encountered themselves yet because your story was so great. Meet him because they had heard about these miraculous signs. Uh-oh. Then the Pharisees, what impact did they allow on them? They knew the Bible, the Old Testament inside and out. They knew it. They knew what the prophets said. They could quote it left and right, and they couldn't even see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because they were so busy looking at things and keeping people under the yada of their life. Jesus said, no, I didn't come to do that. I came for you to tell your story, how I set you free. I don't want you enslaving people with my freedom. I want you freeing them with that, right? The Pharisees are ticked. They said to each other, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone's gone after him. Yeah, bro, that's the point. You're sad because they're not going after you anymore. So many things in our life, this season, during this Palm Sunday and Easter, I believe there are so many people here. He's writing things in your story, and there's stories that you have not shared, and there's things he's done and he is doing. He's doing it because he wants to launch you out into the world again, because there's so many people that need to see authentic Jesus. And I've never been the proudest in my life to have a whole congregation of really authentic people who love Jesus. And I know you're not perfect. And I've seen you lay your palm, put your palms up when it's been some of the hardest times in our life. He still deserved praise. After the accident, we had praise. We didn't stop praising. When I got the doctor's report, I didn't stop praising. When he asked me to do something hard, we laid it down. And God did stuff. I'm asking if you this Palm Sunday will go out and do the very thing of people in your lives. Don't shout Jesus at people, but go tell them what he's done. I was going to play a dramatic song and have you guys listen to it and get you frothing at the mouth, but just go ahead and stand. I pray that each group of you, no matter who you are, that you can relate to someone in the stories. Whether it's Matthew, Pharisee, Judas, soldier, John, Martha. I pray whoever you relate to, you go after him, Jesus, with your story in that. Because if you were a soldier and used to be anti-Jesus and used to like talk trash about him, you were like, man, Christians are crazy. Are you born again, wacko? Yeah, now you're born again, wacko? Go out to those people, those same soldiers, go, dude, that was me. Or if you're Martha, go serve somebody love like you never served anybody love and serve their love right to Jesus. Right? This is the season where I think the church is supposed to be palms up and palms down and palms in. And so, Father, I pray for the church. Help us bring a sacrifice of praise and authentic praise, Father, for what you've done. With every opportunity and breath we get, we'd be praisers. Lord, cause your church to lay our hands down, our palms down. when you ask for something. Help us not bargain with you, ignore you. Lord, and I pray you take these palms that are all over here and you'd send them out into the world. And they'd share the stories of what you've done in their lives. And the church universal would grow. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.